All right. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
How's everybody doing today? Good, good. Same here. Beautiful day out. Amen. Start off in prayer. Heavenly Father, another beautiful day that we're at church. We're going to learn your word and let your word speak for itself, and that it is conveyed plainly and understandably, that the Holy Spirit opens our eyes to these truths, and that you're glorified. We're thankful for the justification you've given us, everything you've done for us. You've saved us from a wrath to come, and now we can enjoy with the knowledge of knowing that we have a heavenly hope, and that we can be here on earth peaceably and enjoying the things that we know that we have, and be with the other fellow saints and be grateful for each other, be grateful for all that we have, and be thankful for the salvation we have in you, and the friendship and fellowship we have with the fellow saints. And let your word be magnified, all of it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So, everyone have a good week. Yeah, I know. I did. Nice work week. We worked in the nice heat. Yeah, it's been, the heat is back on us, so I'm trying to enjoy it. But had a nice little family get together yesterday, so that was fun. I didn't go to a lot of family get-togethers before, but now I'm starting to get back into it. And my grandfather turned 70, so we honored him, and I got to share some of the gospel, which was good. So it was a good day, and we ate good. So, amen. So before, you know what? I'm going to read a thing in Proverbs chapter 27. And you guys don't have to go to it. I'm just going to read it. But we know these verses, but it just kind of is a good reminder to hear these again, because these are things we go through every day. And chapter 27 of Proverbs, verse 5, is open rebuke is better than secret love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. And when you're openly letting people know the truth, it might be as wounds to them, but it's actually being faithful. And it happens all the time that people think that you're being mean to them or saying evil things to them, but in reality you're being faithful, and instead of being that those kisses of an enemy, you know, that you're constantly appeasing people just for argument's sake. But the Lord wants us to be bold, and that open rebuke is definitely better than secret love, and letting each other know and sharpening each other, you know, for the gospel and just for good in this world. And don't ever feel discouraged about that. And I just sometimes I let people know about this verse because they think that you're attacking them, but in reality you're trying to convey a truth that they're not used to hearing. Don't ever feel discouraged. I just like that verse. I wanted to talk about it. It might be pertain to what we're talking about. We're going to get into the terms again. So this is part 3 of the terms. There's so many. I might save some for another time. You know, words like grace and then intercession. So there's a bunch of terms out there. But we're going to hopefully get into 4 of them today. But we'll see. We might just get into 3. But I'm going to kind of recap the terms we've already gone to, just kind of go over them. But forgiveness is a term that, you know, that's thrown out there. We know that we're forgiven of our sins, all our sins. Justification, that the Lord sees us just. Sanctification, that we have 2 kinds of sanctification, our walk and our positional. And salvation, you know, that's a big one. That is a big one, a very big one. Because a lot of people think they have to work for their salvation, and God says it's a free gift. Forbearance, forbearing each other, We went through that one. That was a nice one. Righteousness, you know, that the Lord has imputed righteousness on us like he did Abraham, and we're going to get into that word impute today. And reconciliation, that the Lord has reconciled us and that we have to walk into that. We have to meet the Lord in that because he brought us, appeased both parties, and redemption, that he bought us with his blood and that he bought us back from the slave market of sin. So these are just a few terms. If you've never heard of them, you can look them up, study them, or see a past video. But today we are going to get into the term imputation. So imputation is to charge or attribute a fault or something good on someone. Let's go to Romans chapter 4. And we'll just start off there. But and we keep going back to Romans with all these terms because Romans is just such a foundational book. Amen. We always say it because it is. And I'm learning, Dave, every time I'm with fellow saints, I'm learning on my own, learning on videos. There's so many videos out there. There's that we can learn these things. But Romans chapter 4, verse 8. Now, I'll let you guys read 1 through 8 in your times, and we might go through them, but blessed is the man to whom the Lord, or verse 7, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. So he's not charging sin on us when we're saved. But what happened with, let's go to verse 20, same chapter. He staggered not at the promise of God, talking about Abraham, through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. So are we fully persuaded what God is able to perform? Have we staggered not at the promises of God? Verse 22, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Abraham believed what God had promised him, and it was established him for righteousness. Abraham. This is an easy question, but who is called the friend of God in the Bible? Abraham is, right? So I know for a while there, I didn't know that. You know, I just learned that actually, the friend of God, that's what he was calling him. You see that in 2 Chronicles, you see that in Isaiah, and we want to be, when you're saved, you're also a friend of God. You're no longer an enemy. And we're going to get into, you know, obviously Abraham believed, and that's what made him, wasn't his works, it wasn't him, he wasn't even circumcised when he believed, he was uncircumcised. So those things, the works don't get you saved, it's what you believe in that dispensation, what God is telling you. And I'm going to get into where Abraham, I'm going to get into it, but let's go to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. I'm trying not to get ahead of myself. That's what's going on, because I'm getting into everything you're thinking about right now. But in we're just going to go to chapter 4. But in James 2:23 is, and the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. So God imputed righteousness when he believed, and that's the same for us today. But in chapter 4, in verse 4, I kind of want to, of James, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. So if we don't want to be the friend of the world. We want to be a friend of God, and to do that, we want to, what does the Lord say? It says, be not of this world. We don't want this world. Can be beautiful, but at the same time, it's got so many things that stray you away from truth. And so I thought that was a very captivating verse there, because the friend of this world, and then he called Abraham a friend. And when we're saved, we're also the Lord's friend, and so much, much more. And thanks for that. So now that that's over, I wanted to get that imputation out of the way, because it's just, again, that imputation is that it's to charge or attribute a fault or something good on someone. So he's charged something good on us, which is that salvation and that righteousness that he's charged us for. So glorification is our next one. So now that we got that out of the way, let's get to glorification. Now this one was kind of a little bit tough for me. I was trying to understand this. It wasn't too bad, but I never learned. Let's go to Romans chapter 8, verse 17. So while we're going there, glorification, to exalt with joy and righteous boasting, to give honor and praise. The word glory is high renown or honor won by notable achievements. So we obviously give glory to the Lord. We're also glorified in Christ, we as believers. So this glorification, it is about our eternal hope in Christ, that one day we will dwell in God's glorious presence in new glorified bodies and directly experience God's glory forever. So this glorification is that we have an establishment in the heavens, and that's our glorification. So Romans chapter 8, verse 17, and if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. So, for I reckon that the suffering, verse 18, sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. So that glorification is that we get new bodies, new glorified bodies, and that we're going to be in glory in the Lord. And that's where, I'm going to get to a verse later, but that's, we know that to be true, and the Lord, we believe what God's word. So we believe that that's what he says, that's what we have. So when we believe that, it's a beautiful thing. So I wanted to kind of get into three main steps: justification, sanctification, and glorification. So those three main, we went through justification and sanctification, so we know what those are. But in these main things are 1, 2, 3. So justification, sanctification, and then glorification. Justification, when we trust Christ as our Savior, that he died for our sins and rose, we are eternally righteous by God, and that judicial decision by God stands forever. So we know that we're seen righteous through justification, and that's a forever thing. It's never going to go away. Two, you got sanctification now. So now that you have that justification, you know you're sanctified, we have that positional, but now the sanctification begins, and this is a lifelong process of becoming more like Christ, being set apart from sin unto God, and living out Christ's righteousness. This involves our spiritual growth and maturity. This stops when we die or get raptured. So this sanctification is constantly renewing the inward man, constantly growing in the Lord, in God's word. It's something that is, it's always going to be until you die. So, which is good, because you constantly, you're getting stronger, you're getting better, and you can do more for the Lord. And next is this glorification that we're talking about. And our experiences and condition will then perfectly match our standing and position before God. We will be eternally holy in behavior as well as having been declared righteous positionally. So this is something that when we finally go to heaven and we're completely glorified with new bodies and Lord, it's where our everything's complete now. Now we've reached heaven. And it was kind of confusing for me, but that's where. And I also want to take a step back and say that those faithful terms, the book that was given to me by a fellow saint, that book from Sadler, Kevin Sadler, and that book is helped me understand more of these truths that I'm going through. So a lot of that stuff is from that book, and I'm utilizing this in my teaching because it's such a powerful book, and I'm just grateful. So get the reading commentaries and reading stuff so you guys can learn, because it's helping me tremendously to, because I would have never kind of seen it in that light of glorification. But so justification is about removing the penalty of sin. Sanctification is about removing the power of sin. And glorification is about removing the presence of sin from our once fleshly bodies. And this is all done by the grace of God. Everything is done by God. God is the one doing all these things for us. And let's go to Philippians chapter 3. Yeah, imputation and glorification. And verse 20. For our conversation is in heaven, our citizenship, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. And that, and change our vile bodies. So the bodies we have are going to get changed like his glorious body, and we'll be glorified in that. And there's other terms of glorification that, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and ye in him. That's 2 Thessalonians 1:12. And I wanted to finish off this by saying to look beyond sufferings and frustrations and uncertainties of this life and live by faith in the light of the eternal destiny of glory that awaits in heaven. So it's looking past all the problems we have in this world, because we all have many problems that we're dealing with, and that's hitting us to the heart. It's hitting the home. It's constant. It's going to be all the time. You have your good days. You'll have your bad days. You have your really good days. You have your really bad days. But just to know that you're going to have a glorified body and the Lord has imputed righteousness on you. Know that these truths, it should make you feel better about everything you're going. Like, it's just strengthening you. It's just strengthening you to be like, okay, well, I got 80 to 100 years here on earth compared to eternity. The eternity that I will live forever in everlasting peace and everlasting glory and rule with the Creator himself. And he's gonna, and that's something that we can take with us day by day. Somebody's making us mad at work, remember that. He wants us to forgive him. Keep you anything that's going on in your life, because it happens to everybody. It happens to me. I get frustrated in certain times, and just go back to this word and kind of renew yourself. So, all right. now that we're done with that, oh, we're going kind of quick here. All right, well, so now we got imputation. Hopefully that kind of sounds about pretty good. And then glorification. And now we're going to get into a nice little word that we all know about.
So let's go down a little bit. Mm-hmm. There's three major imputations. The imputation of Adam's original sin and all human race. The imputation of sin to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross. And then finally, thank heaven, the imputation of Christ's righteousness to the lost sinner.
And those are the three major ones.
There's other ones, minor degrees.
You know, okay.
Both are important.
Okay.
Yeah. And at the beginning you mentioned you're going to false epistles for a while, particular doctrine. And the passage over there in 2 Timothy 1:10, where the Apostle Paul says, "Life and immortality have been brought to light through the gospel." He's talking about his gospel.
Mm-hmm.
So we can see salvation in other economies in the Bible, but it's through Pauline teaching where we get the highest and greatest understanding of individual personal salvation. That's why almost all of these terms we're going to be going pretty much in Paul's teaching.
Yeah, and basically all of them, yeah, are pertaining to Paul's epistles. But if you're listening, then you're learning about those three imputations that you can find out for yourself. And I'm actually going to go over them after this service with Floyd. So, all right. So, thank you for that. And so, this little word called faith that we all, our church is called Faith Bible Church. It's little word faith that we hear, and we hear it a lot, and it's a strong word there. So, yes, this is the third term. Yes, yep, faith, and we know that. So, I have the definition of faith is complete trust or confidence in someone or something. That's like one that I found, but we know that there's another definition. And that's in Hebrews chapter 11. So let's go there. All right. Verse 1. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. And this is a real famous chapter. The Heroes of Faith chapter. God's Word lists all the heroes that they seemed right to put them in there. And this is going to kind of tie into the imputation that we were. So now verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So these that's the definition that the Bible gives of faith. And it's something that's real and that it's hoped for, but you can't see it. So there's a lot of things in this world that we can't see. We know it's real. And you have the air. You have oxygen. We know there's oxygen. You can't see it. We have a soul. We know that. We can't see it. The wind. You have spirit. We know that we can't see it. Atoms. Those are things we know are true. We can't see it. And so let's continue reading here. Verse 2. For by it the elders obtained a good report. And verse 3. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So there's a lot in that verse that the Lord spoke the worlds into existence there. See, and through faith we understand these things. So we never seen that this happened, but we know by faith, we know this is what happened. and that the Lord spoke the world into existence and made the worlds from nothing. He made that. This is something that he made it out of nothing. He never took material and then created the earth. He just spoke it, and it just happened and came out of nothing. And that's what that verse is saying. So we have faith in that. We have that a creator, not evolution, not whatever is being told in schools that's contrary to what this is saying. This is saying that God spoke the world into existence and that was made from literally nothing. And he created all these beautiful somethings that we have here. And that's all through the magnificence of God himself that we can never kind of understand on how he can create things. And the Lord Jesus himself, because we know he's the creator. He's the one that created. So, and I wanted to say, so in Genesis 15:6, we don't have to go there, but, and what did he say? And he believed in the Lord and he counted it to him for righteousness. So that believe is a similar word of faith. It's not exactly the same, but it's kind of similar. And faith involves reliance. Faith involves reliance and trust, and it endures in the face of doubts. Belief is something we take as true. So faith is constantly something that we're constantly in the face of doubts of people saying we come from monkeys. No, we don't come from monkeys. We come from a great and powerful God that created things with a power that we'll never comprehend. And then we get to rule with that guy, with that person, with that individual, that entity, with the creator himself. So that's something that we kind of grasp on. And Abraham, going back to Abraham. So now, what was Abraham? He was promised. He had a promise. He was promised there in Genesis 12:1-3, that Abrahamic covenant. So what did God say? I'll make you a great nation, and then I will give you a land. Abraham never seen none of those. He never got to see any of those. So that faith that he had to believe God that those things were going to come is, that's where that faith comes in. Imagine if someone told you that you were going to be a great nation and you were never going to even see it. The promised land, you never even seen it, never, that, and it took great faith on Abraham's part to believe that. And also, I wanted to say God is invisible. So a lot of people, Jesus Christ is the visible manifestation. He was the triune God. But God is an invisible God, and that's what these things, when that verse 3, we've seen that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So the things we see can never be made by, you know what I mean? It's not. We don't want to do it. It's just came out of nothing. So we definitely want to take God at his word, because God's word, we know, is he put his word above all his name. And we are justified by faith alone. With the faith that believes that Christ died for our sins at the cross and that he rose again. Your justification, like we were saying earlier, is not by works. It wasn't even with Israel. Yeah, they did all them laws and they did the circumcision. That was the seal of but it was their faith in that they believed God said to come. Like we said, in every dispensation, God gave a set of rules, and whatever God said to do, that's what you did. And your faith is what saves you. And today, the Lord tells us to believe the gospel, that he died, that he died on the cross and rose the third day, and that faith will impute righteousness, will apply that righteousness on you. And we want to get on that page. So, so we're still on faith, but like I was saying, in Romans 4:4-5, we just, like we said, works don't save you. Believing what God says saves you. We have nothing to offer God in our unrighteous state. And we said, like we said before, Abraham believed God before being circumcised. He was uncircumcised, and that's why they call him the father of us all that believed. And, yeah, and I went through that. Yeah, even in Jesus' earthly ministry, whatever the Lord was saying, sell all your things, whatever they were, sell all your possessions, that's what they had to do by faith. And do them things and believe what the Lord says. So, we're kind of grooving through here today. Yeah, because I'm already on the fourth of one. I thought it was going to be a little longer, so we could just get in some more. But the next term is, hopefully that was a little clear, that faith, because, yeah, faith is a big one, because we're justified by faith alone. And the next one is regeneration. If anybody ever heard of regeneration, it has the meaning of rebirth or born again, renewal and spiritual revival. God has made us new in Christ. He has given us new life from a previous state of separation from God. And there's so many that we can go to. Ephesians 2 is one that we can go to. But we'll go to Titus chapter 3. Kind of go over this. Titus chapter 3. Now, regeneration is used twice in the Bible. Once in Matthew and once in Titus. Titus chapter 3. Every time I read some of these verses, it just gets to me, because the Lord is who He says He is. And chapter 3, verse 5, we'll start in verse 4. But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. And that hope of eternal life, it's a beautiful hope there. But we know, so when the Holy Spirit imparts eternal life to those who believe the gospel, it's called regeneration. So that's the Holy Spirit is doing, is the one that's bestowing eternal life to those who believe. So every person born is born dead in sins. And we all need regeneration. God meets mankind's need for spiritual life. And He does this for us by regenerating that we have new life in Him. And all things have become new, and we're a new creature. We can never wash our sins or renew ourselves spiritually. God gets all the glory for regeneration, and God does it all. And here's a nice quote that I seen from Sadler: salvation is received, it is not achieved. It's something that we don't work for. It's nothing that we can do within ourselves. There's nothing that we can't regenerate ourselves. We can't impute the righteousness ourselves. We can't do many of these things ourselves. You know, it's all these beautiful gifts that the Lord gives us. And so it's kind of like, so we're washed. It's an instantaneous event. It happens right away when you're saved, and it has to do with this eternal life. You have eternal, literally, you have eternal life and unlimited. You will die here on earth, but when you're in heaven, you're going to live forever. Forever. And ever and ever. And there's going to, it's that beautiful love story that just, that we can be grateful for. And I kind of blew through these verses, through all these. I thought there was enough here. So I went through all my terms. So I have more. Let's see. Did anybody have any comments or anything? Because I did like the three imputations. Go ahead.
With all our immediate gifts, our immediate transition and salvation, if we're down on ourselves, I think the word glorification could be thought of that we're already, not just waiting for eternity to be glorified, but we have an attribute in our salvation of being an elevated state that we're already glorified.
Yeah, that we're in Christ, that we, I think that's what it, I was kind of getting at, was that we're already, like, because our citizenship is in heaven, we're ambassadors in Christ, and that glorification is when we get that new body, and that we're, and go ahead. No, there's a definitely. Go ahead.
When it comes to glorification, glory, those words, depending on the context, it could mean
different.
Like what she's talking about is to take something and give it worth, change it, make it. Give it worth and make it manifest. So there's a future glorification we're looking forward to, and there's a here and now glory that we can allow the Lord to produce through us, because He has made us worthy of something. He has given us value, and He wants that value, that change, and that eternal life to be manifest to other people. So when they see the good works which we have done, they may glorify our Father, right? But we're different. We're shining forth His glory through us. So there's just different contexts.
To the
glory, glorification, glorified.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's why I kind of went over. I think I didn't go in it, but I went to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1:12. I kind of briefed.
Every believer has already experienced a spiritual resurrection. We are waiting again for the future bodily resurrection. At that time, we will be hopefully full glorification.
Full glorification, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's where I'm coming to learn that. So I guess you're saying that's the spiritual glorification, and you get the full when you die.
Actually, justification we have in getting imputed righteousness, and during your walk of experimental sanctification, you appropriate God's grace and you receive imparted righteousness, and then glorification, the full expression of all of your salvation is revealed when you are fully glorified in heaven.
Mm. All right. Well, you know what? We can go to Ephesians chapter 2, and then we'll probably finish early. If anybody wants to, has anything else they want to add? This is another verse that I was basically getting at with, and this is basically what Boyd was saying right now, too. Ephesians chapter 2, and we can just run all the way from verse 1. And you hath he quickened, made alive, and were dead in trespasses and sins. We know that. Wherein in times past he walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, which is Satan, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. And then here goes verse 4. But God, that who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, and that was at the cross, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. And right there is that, between that verse 4 and 5, that he's given us spiritual life, and he's, and we have that regeneration in that spiritual life, and that when we die, we'll have the full regeneration. But I'm going to read through it all the way to verse 10. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And I wanted to read through that, for if anybody's listening and made it this far in the video and you're not saved, that's a verse that you can take to the bank, and that you see that you're saved through faith, and it's not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, and it's something that we are not going to be boasting about. And that, as you see in verse 10 there, for we are his workmanship, and that's like a really strong word there, that workmanship, but created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So it's not the good works that you get that saves you. You get saved first, and then you're saved unto good works, to do good for the body of Christ and for the Lord. And you're doing this out of the, because you want to serve the Lord. It's not for your salvation. It's because now he saved me, and now this, all the, I have all these terms on me, and now I'm just grateful for what I have in the Lord. So, thank you. And if, go ahead.
I just wanted to say that I think the most important thing about faith is that it doesn't matter how much you have the wrong thing, it's not going to do anything.
Right.
That's how important it is to write and divide the word of God.
Well said. Yep, that was a good one. You know, it's, if
you referenced the book by Kevin,
what was that, Faithful Terms, or what was it called? There's a book, we got them out there, we got some, Boyd brought some. Keywords of Our Faith, yep. I did like what you said, because you could have faith in so many things, strong faith, but if you don't rightly divide.
Everybody has faith.
Yeah.
Faith is atheism.
Mm-hmm.
Faith is actually neutral, but it's the object of faith.
Right, and she hit it right on the nail, that rightly dividing, because there's many ways to wrongly divide, and the world does that, and rightly dividing is a key to understanding the scriptures. Because like I was just listening to Transformed by Grace on the way here, and he was talking about the prayers that you pray back then. They pray, you pray for whatever you want and you receive. Today it's not that way. So a lot of people, once you rightly divide and see where that is in the Bible and the Gospels, and you see that today we have the peace that passes all understanding, and that the God's grace is sufficient for us. So I appreciate all the comments. Thank you. Anybody else? Alright, thank you. We'll end in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for another day that we can talk and bounce back terms, bounce back truths, and that we all learn today, and it's a constant learning process for everybody. Everyone is in their own walk in faith, and that's why it's so beautiful that we can talk about these things and learn and grow in grace, and let it all be for your glorification. Let us not boast. We're grateful for the salvation that we have, that it's our that free gift. We just have to accept it just by believing what you've done for us in that gospel. And thank you for everyone here, and let them have a strong week this week in glorifying you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.